I want to talk to you about the fact that Thomas missed a Sunday worship, and he really missed something special. Now, I've got the word worship in quotation marks because the church hasn't started. But if you'll look at Acts chapter 20, it's the first day of the week. You see that? Look in verse 19. Acts chapter 20, verse 19 says, it was on that same day. And that same day, if you'll look at it, the early part of that chapter is the first day of the week. That's Resurrection Sunday. And just in passing, by the way, the Bible does use Jewish time, but it also uses Roman time. Sometimes people think, well, we ought to have Jewish time. Well, this is Roman time, like we have here in America. You know, the day begins at midnight, and here's proof of it. This is Jewish time. If it's evening, it'd be the next day. It wouldn't be the same day that he rose. But Jesus has just been raised from the dead. And it's the first day of the week, and they're locked in that upper room, and Jesus appears to them. And it is amazing that he showed to them his hands and his side. Can you imagine what that would have been like? I mean, 4 days before, 3 days before, they nailed him to the cross. And now there is that Sunday meeting of those disciples, even though the church has not started. And Jesus says, look here. Here's my hands. And that's what we've just done at this table, isn't it? They literally got to do what we did this very day. We looked at his hands and we looked at his side, and Jesus says, it's me and I'm alive. And he began to talk to them. He talked to them about the peace that he could give to them. He talked to them about the Holy Spirit. He talked to them about the great work that they were doing, going out and forgiving and setting the terms of forgiveness for salvation of the whole world. And then all of a sudden, verse 24 says, but Thomas was not there. I want to talk very openly and kindly as I can, and as directly and as plainly as I can, to those of you who only come to a Sunday morning service maybe once a month or twice a month. I would to God that you would receive this lesson from the very attitude and the heart that I have. There are the individuals who come, and you mean so much to us, and we're so thankful that you come. But a part of preaching is to talk about changes that people need to make in their lives. And I want to talk to you if you're that person who only comes about once a month or twice a month to worship God. I don't want to browbeat you. I don't want to take a verse in the Bible and say, now don't you know that this is what God says and that God wants you to be here? And here's this verse that proves that He is the Lord and He's the King and He's the Almighty God, and you're just a slave and you're just the lowest person on this earth, and you need, as a slave, you need to listen to what God said and you need to be here. Now there is truth that God has said that. And you and I need to understand that it's very possible that some who only come one Sunday a month have situations in their lives that others may not understand. But I just want to talk to those of you who only come once a month. And sometimes I thought, well, to hit all of those people that come once a month, I'd have to preach this for the next 4 Sundays. So I don't know how to deal with this. But can I talk to you about 10 reasons to worship God? I don't want to quote the verses that treat you like you're just worthless, because you're not. But I want you to serve God with something that's far deeper than a slave mentality that says to an almighty God, God, tell me what I have to do and I'll do it. 10 reasons to worship God. Reason number one, that we need to worship God, is because I get to spend time with my family. But you just think that through. You know what family reunions are like? You know when Uncle Fred comes and you sometimes hope he doesn't show up, but he's there anyway. You know what I'm talking about? But there's just something about family reunions. Whenever some of families come here and you're in different parts of the year. If you live in South Florida, it's a whole lot easier sometimes to have a family reunion. They'd rather come down here than go to Michigan in December. I know that. But you understand what I'm talking about? There's just something about family. But you see, there's a spiritual family that we need to have an appreciation for. We have folks at home this morning, perhaps some of them are watching on the internet, watching this service. And I think about them so often. It's like Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 3, talking about a different kind of situation, but he says, I'm absent in the body, but I'm present in the spirit. I really, really want to be there. Why, Paul? That's where my family is. That's where my brothers and sisters are. That's where people that really, genuinely, and truly, those folks that are genuinely concerned about me, they're different from folks at work. I have friends at work, but I don't have friends, you know, one could say, I don't have friends like I have in this church. I have people I spend time with all week, but there's just something about those folks down at Palm Beach Lakes. And one of the reasons all of us need to be there is because there is built within us, if we have a right relationship to God, a longing to be with each other. In Romans chapter 1, Paul says, I long to see you. Paul had never been to Rome, and he says in that whole paragraph of Romans chapter 1 that I've purposed to come, but I just haven't been able to get there. But I want you to know I've been planning to get there in order that I might impart to you some spiritual gift. And in verse 12 he says, in order there might be a mutual comforting and edification. You understand that the reason we need to come to worship is because this is where our family is. Folks that really matter to us. It's a family reunion, not something that happens once in a lifetime or once a year, even once a month. My family is there. And I really, really enjoy being around my family. I may not be able to talk to all of you, but I can talk to some of you about grandchildren. Does that ring a bell about family? Does that ring a bell to those of you who are in the situation where you've got an empty nest and you wish you could see your kids? My brother just died, 4 years ago. You know what I'd give to see him? Some of you in that same kind of situation, you've lost brothers and sisters. I need to come to worship. Because here's a family in this very building, unlike any other family relationship. There's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and you make that a spiritual friend, and you've described the church. I don't have to come to church, that's why I'm here. I get to see my family when I walk in this building. Second reason is because I get to praise God. And I get to sing with Jesus. Did you hear that? Think about how good God is. And how much we owe God and how blessed we are to live in this land and to not live in some war-torn situation like is over in Iraq or Syria or some of those other places. Not like our Christians in Nigeria where they've come in and at Christian schools and taken away some of our Christian teenage sisters and made likely, sex slaves of them in some. You know how blessed we are? I get to praise God. The Creator of the world is listening to what we're going to say and what we do into this place. And I get to do that. And Jesus is here. And that's why in Hebrews chapter 12, David said, I was glad when they said, let us come into the house of the Lord. the Hebrew writer says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praises unto thee. And these are the words of Jesus. Do you understand? That I need to worship God. I get to worship God because Jesus has been singing with us. I'll cherish the old rugged cross. I'll fly away. And the songs that we have sung together, Jesus was right here in the midst of it. There are some songs that when I sing them, I imagine Jesus sitting right beside me, and all of a sudden that song takes on a meaning like beyond all other meanings. A song like, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way. That echoes the statements in Gethsemane, and Jesus is here, and Jesus is singing with me. I get to sing in a choir with Jesus. That's why I come to worship. I come to worship because I get to pray and to change the world. You believe in prayer? Do you believe that prayer really, really makes a difference? In the book of Acts, after the apostles had been arrested, Acts chapter 4, that should be Acts chapter 4. I can't believe I knew it. In the book of Acts chapter 4, they'd been arrested. And they, when they were arrested, they went back to where the church was assembled. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported to all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. So when they heard this, they raised their voices to God with one accord and said, Lord, You are God. And at the end of that prayer, where they prayed that with boldness they might be able to proclaim the word of God, God said, I heard what you said. And the Bible says that there was an earthquake that shook that place. God doesn't answer with earthquakes. But God answers. Let me tell you, one of these days, you or your loved one's going to be in a hospital. And you're going to send a message that says, announce at church that I'm in intensive care. Announce at church that the only hope I have is in God. Would you please announce in church so the church can pray for me? And if that's what we want when we're in those dire circumstances, that we believe the prayers that are prayed for the sick make a massive difference, then why would I not want to be here every week so I can change what's happening on this world? You upset? Are you upset about what's happening in America? You think this world and this nation has been flipped upside down? Is there anything we can do about this? Oh, we can pray about it. I get to pray about it. And when the Bible says that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, James 5:16 says, avails much. Can you imagine not just one individual praying, but hundreds of individuals with one heart and one mind raising our voice to God and saying, God, bless America. I get to do that. And it changes what happens if you believe in prayer. You get to do that. That's why you need to come to worship. We feel helpless. We feel left out. We feel the world is going to hell in a handbasket. I have no idea what that expression means. But we feel the world has just gone upside down. What can I? I know one thing. I can join with hundreds of people and pray, God help this land. God help the immorality. God help the ungodliness that is becoming more and more legal and sanctioned by our very government. I can pray and I get to pray, and that prayer makes a difference. That's why I need to go to worship every week. I need to worship God because I get my faith fortified. That's our theme this month, isn't it? With God, we can fortify our faith. And you and I need to understand that's the very kind of things that happen. When we speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, we are uplifted by that very thing. Our faith is made to be greater. When I hear you sing about heaven and the reality of being in that place someday, it builds my faith and my longing to be there. And my faith is built up. And how do we not all understand that faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God? And the very concept of preaching in our assemblies is in order that we might have faith. How do I have greater faith? If there's adversity coming in my life and you know that it's out there on the horizon, you want to have greater faith? If a little faith comes from hearing a little of the Word of God, tell me where greater faith comes. That's why I need to come to worship every Sunday. Because this world is there and I need to be able to have my faith fortified. Just in passing, our theme next month will involve the matter of worship. How do we make worship more meaningful? And you need to hear every one of those lessons. Why? Because it will help us to fortify our faith and help us to worship God in a far more acceptable way. You need to come to worship every time because you get to have communion. I will not drink of this cup until that day I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Are you aware that every Sunday Jesus is in this building, figuratively, eating the Lord's Supper? He's invited us to come to His table. And I get, can you imagine sitting with the Lord in that upper room and Him breaking the bread and then handing the bread to that person to His left or to that person to His right? And He said to them, now you eat this bread and you drink this cup, because the day will come when in the kingdom I will be there and we'll have communion together. I will drink it anew with you. And so those who sat on the right and the left of Jesus received at the very hands of Jesus that bread, and they ate that bread, remembering His body, understanding that it was His body. And figuratively, when that person to your left or right passes to you that bread or that fruit of the vine, it is as though you're sitting at the right or the left hand of Jesus, and Jesus says, I'm sitting here with you. I get to eat the Lord's Supper. And then there's that other aspect of it, and that is we get to eat the Lord's Supper. It's not just a communion, me and the Lord. It's a communion with the entire body of Jesus. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a communion of the blood and the bread? Is it not a communion of the body? So we, being many, though many, are one bread and one body. There's an expression of unity. It is not as in religions in past years where only one individual in the assembly would eat the bread or would drink the fruit of the vine. All of us have in common a communion. For we are all saved by His body, and all are saved by His blood, and we commonly together share in the Lord's Supper. I'll tell you another reason. Is because I get to see the Lord work. I want you to think about that. Here's our Paraguayan mission team. Is that God working? We get to see the Lord work. We get to see people walk down this aisle and say, I've heard the gospel. I want to be baptized. Is that the Lord working? We sit in this place and we see the Lord working in the lives of individuals. Time out. Just sat up here and saw this junior high group here. And I thought, this is great. Promotion Sunday, what? 2 months ago, and all there were 3 or 4 of you, and I sat up here, and here you are. And every one of you listening. And here is the body of Christ looking at over here, and we see God working in your lives. It's not just our junior high, but it's and we see it in every age group around here. We see God at work. There's an announcement about somebody being in the hospital, and there's a flood of cards that go to that individual, and there are visits that are made, and we see individuals weeping together, and we see individuals. God is at work, and there's evidence of it every week when we assemble. That's why you need to be here every week, because you'll see God working. We need to be here every week because it's a way we get to show others where we stand. There are other individuals who look at the weekend as belonging to themselves. So Sunday becomes a shopping day. Sunday becomes a recreational day. Sunday becomes a sleep-in day. Sunday becomes a day which I do nothing because I'm just a little bit tired and I need to be refreshed. And you see, worshiping God is not just something we sort of do. It's where we say to all the people around us, look, there's a thing in my life. And if your neighbors looked out this morning and thought, oh, I think they're going to go to church this week. I haven't gone in a couple of weeks. And there are others who say, they're there all the time. It shows people where I am. And so the Bible talks about a city in the Sermon on the Mount, a city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. And when we collectively drive down Leo Lane, I sometimes wonder how these 75, 100 cars that come down Leo Lane get by down that narrow road that's out there. But I'm so thankful that there are people in Mystic Woods and Palm's Edge, people down Military Trail. What's going on down there? Look at all of this. And it's a chance for me to show to other people, look, there's something special here at this church. There's some great people. There's some great preaching. There's a great God that is there. And I want to be there. I want to show others where I stand. And then we need to understand that the reason we need to be here is we get to encourage those who are weak. You ever get depressed? Your faith ever weak? Oh, yeah. But you see, it's in times like this that I get to encourage others. And while Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, verse 24 says, let us consider one another in order to stir up to love and to good works. And so they are those whose faith is weak. They're these young people. who 10 years from now may not be a part of the church. And I contribute by my absence or my presence and to the attention that I give to them and the encouragement that I give to them, I, by that very presence, impact the spirituality of these precious young people. But it's not just the young people. It's those of my own age. It's those young adults who live in a world that is so different from a world that I grew up in. I cannot imagine how you deal with all that is in that world, but you need each other. Because they are sometimes when you're down, sometimes when they're down, and there's that building up of each other. I get to help those who are weak. I need to be here every week because it helps me deal with the attacks the devil is bringing. The Bible says we're not ignorant of his devices, but that's only Paul's statement. We may be unbelievably ignorant. Because if my attitude is I don't really need the armament that I can get by being there every week, then I lay myself open and pray to whatever Satan may bring in my life. And so the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Listen, there is an evil day coming in your life, in which there's going to be adversity. There's going to be adversity of news. There's going to be adversity from doctors. There's going to be adversity from the place you're employed. There will be adversity from family members. There will be adversity that come from those who you thought were your friends. There may be all kinds of adversity. How am I going to stand? Those of you who are in senior high, you'll soon graduate. How are you going to stand? And so he says, put on the whole armor of God. Tell me what it is. Well, it is truth, verse 14. Verse 15, it is the gospel. Verse 16 says, and it is a shield of faith. Remember, faith comes from hearing the word of God. A shield, and the devil is throwing fiery darts at us. And the only hope that I have is that shield of faith. And when that evil day comes, my shield had better be strong and it had better be large. And the only way that can happen is to have that shield of faith that comes from hearing the Word of God. That's why I need to be here every week. And finally, I get to have the quenching and the satisfying of a hungering and thirsting that I have for spiritual things. There's a spiritual appetite within the heart of every individual whose heart has not been hardened. And the very fact that you're here today, there's a hole in your heart that only the spiritual things of God can fill up, that need that is in your heart, spirituality. And you need to have that in your life. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for I've made provision how they can be filled. And if there's a longing for God in your life, and when that evil day comes, and you know, and the evil day may be in your life right this very minute, the longing for God is satisfied when we're in the presence of Jesus. In Luke chapter 24, on the road to Emmaus, two disciples are walking and they think that Jesus has died and they do not believe in the resurrection. They said, we had hoped, past tense, he was going to be the Savior, but he's not. And Jesus begins to talk to them. And then when he is taken from among them, they said, did not our hearts burn within us when he talked to us on the road and he opened the scriptures to us? Your heart can burn with pleasant desire and satisfaction because I've heard the words of Jesus. And those who are members of this congregation know that the words that come out of this pulpit are the very words of Jesus. That's why I come to worship. Look at those 10 reasons once again. I get to spend time with my family. I get to sing and praise with Jesus. I get to pray and change the world. I get to have my faith fortified. I get to share in the Lord's Supper. I get to see the Lord at work. I get to show others where I stand. I get to encourage weaker brethren. I get to prepare myself for the attacks of the devil on that evil day. And I get to have my soul's hungering and thirsting satisfied. Is that why you worship? Could I just in passing say something to maybe as many as half of you this very morning? These same 10 reasons apply to Sunday night worship. Look at the list. And we even have communion with our brothers and sisters who were not able to be here on a Sunday morning, and we get to share with them as we shared with the other family members in the morning service. We get to share with them. Why do you worship God? Because I get to be with the Lord in the Lord's family. I get to be with the Lord's family in the Lord's house. And I get my soul prepared so that I'll have faith to know how to live. An evil day is coming. And I appeal to every one of you to look at yourself. You want to be stronger as a Christian? Then make whatever changes you need to make so you'll have greater faith, greater hope, and a great shield to destroy the evil one. God help us to get to heaven without the loss of a single person in this auditorium. That's our heart desire. How can we help you go to heaven? If you're not in His family that worships in this place, you need to be. But His plan is to begin with faith. And John chapter 3 and verse 16 says that very thing. But it takes a decision in your mind, repentance, to change, to decide, but don't delay in making that decision. We got to confess Jesus. And Acts chapter 22, verse 16 says, we got to have our sins washed away in the blood of Jesus when we're baptized. And we become a part of His family. And then He says, He doesn't say, be sinless. He says, don't you give up. You be full of faith. Where does faith come from? Hearing the Word of God. You be full of faith. and I'll give you the crown of life. How can we help you go to heaven? Won't you let it be known by coming to the front right now as together we stand and sing? Will you come?